The fruit of the Spirit is the natural product of a life yielded to God's control. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell explains God's process for growing spiritual fruit in our lives.
Sometimes God does not remove the problem because He wants to improve the person. He wants us to become more like Jesus Christ. And He's allowing that trial so that you'll read your word more fervently, so that you'll spend time in prayer, so that you'll not be lackadaisical about church attendance, so that you will adhere to the word of God and become more like Jesus Christ.
Every believer has the capacity to bear the fruit of the Spirit. In our series, Fruit Grows Where the Stream Flows, we will learn how to experience the fruit of the Spirit in our daily lives. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you want to learn how to have peace in the midst of a storm, how to keep joy when depression comes, how to practice patience through difficulty, and how to love the unloved, then this series is for you. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part two of a message called Long Suffering Grows Where the Stream Flows.
When someone has a sickness or when someone is going through a trial, when someone walks out to the parking lot at Walmart and sees that their car has just been keyed and the paint scratched off, the first thing they say is often not, "Boy, someone just scratched the paint off my car. It's a good thing." They don't say, "Man, I feel nauseous today. I feel terrible today. It's a good thing." No, that's not what we say. We do not say, "It's a good thing." That's normally not our reaction when something goes against our will. But that's what David said. "It's a good thing for me that I've been afflicted." Why was it good, David? "That I might learn thy statutes." Now, let's just be honest for a minute. Sometimes we get into autopilot, we make our own decisions, we go our own way, until something like cancer or unemployment or sickness or trouble hits our path. Then we say, "Okay, God, you've got my attention. I want to learn what you are trying to tell me now." And that's why David said, "It was a good thing that I had this affliction, because now I'm ready to listen to God." Sometimes God brings these things to our lives to correct us, sometimes to challenge us. And here's something that I hope will encourage you, because it encourages me. Sometimes God brings these things into our life so that He can use us more greatly. So that He can use us more greatly. I had a pastor friend years ago. I called him up. I began to cry all my blues to him. I told him about this family that was coming, and now they're not right with God, and they're doing this and that. And I told him about this bill that was due, and I told him about this problem I had. And I just was telling him all these problems I had. And he said to me, he said, "You know, I am so excited for you to hear about these problems." And I thought, this guy is sick. I'm telling him all my problems. I'm looking for some sympathy. He says, "I am so excited for you," because he said, "Brother Chappell, you wouldn't be having these problems with your building and with all these situations if God wasn't preparing to use you in a greater way in the future." And you know, as I study the scriptures, I've come to believe that the man was right. For there was a man in the Bible by the name of Joseph who was sold into slavery by his own brothers. They literally got rid of him. They hated him. They were jealous of him. They treated him poorly. They lied about him. They did everything against Joseph that you could do against a person. And yet the Bible says in Genesis 50:20 these words. Joseph speaks now to his brothers some years later. He says, "But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive." They thought they were hurting Joseph, but Joseph says, "God meant your evil for good. God wanted to use this affliction to promote a purpose in my life, and that was to use me in a greater way." I don't know what God has planned for your life, but He has you here on this earth to do more than make a dollar in your industry. He has you here on this earth to do more than simply have a great career. He has you here so that He can use you to bring the glorious gospel to somebody else, so that He can use you to be a blessing to someone else. And when trials come, don't waste that trial, but let God prepare you for a season of greater usefulness in your life. And so we see that the perseverance of the long suffering helps us to fulfill God's purpose. And secondly, we persevere because of God's priority. Now, God has a priority for all of our lives, and I'm going to share it with you right now. And I want you to open your Bible to Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. And if you don't have a Bible, look in the notes, because I want you to see this isn't pop psychology. This isn't my thought. This is the Word of God. He has a priority for your life. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Many of you have heard this before. It says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to His purpose." Now that's awesome. No matter what trials, God's at work. He has a purpose. We know He's working. And we thank God for the purpose. But now look at the priority in verse 29. "For whom He," that is God, "for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son." The word predestinate is not related to salvation. It is related to God's will for you after salvation. God has a predetermined will for your life, those of you that are saved. He has a will for your life. He has predestinated this will. What is it, Pastor Chapel? Notice it is to be conformed to the image of His Son. Let's say that together. To be conformed. God's priority for me and for you is that as we travel on this earth, we might be more and more like Jesus Christ. Have you ever seen the bumper sticker that says, "Be patient with me, God is not finished yet"? Have you ever seen that one? That's true, by the way, isn't it? Be patient with me, God is not finished with me yet. And God wants you and God wants me, through the trials of this life, to become more and more like His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know about you, but when I have adversity in my life, I want God to do a removing job. But God wants to do an improving job. Sometimes God does not remove the problem because He wants to improve the person. He wants us to become more like Jesus Christ. And He's allowing that trial so that you'll read your word more fervently, so that you'll spend time in prayer, so that you'll not be lackadaisical about church attendance, so that you will adhere to the word of God and become more like Jesus Christ. And your ability to wait on the Lord at those times is an expression of your faith. It is an expression saying, "God, I believe in You, and I believe that through Your Spirit, I can be long-suffering at this time in my life." And so we see the perseverance of long-suffering. God will allow you to see your way through. He will see you through as you are long-suffering. Notice, secondly, this morning, the influence of long-suffering. The influence of long-suffering. I believe that a Christian person who is filled with the Spirit and who is long-suffering when there is a health problem, when there is a wayward child, when there is a trouble at work, the person that is long-suffering and doesn't throw in the towel and doesn't quit church and doesn't get mad and stomp off, that person, over time, will have greater influence with other people. They will be respected. There will be an influence that God puts on their life, and they will be able to help others down the road, even through their trial. Someone said, "Long-suffering is the grace of a man who could revenge himself but does not." And I want you to see the influence that God wants you to have even through the difficulties of this life. First of all, God wants you to have influence with your family through these times. He wants you to have influence. You say, "Pastor Chapel, I have a son, I have a daughter, I have a relative that it seems like I have no influence on them at all." I want to tell you this morning, you're wrong. I want to tell you this morning that God will use your testimony in their heart much more than you realize. God will use your long-suffering, your patience, the fact that you never gave up on them. They will take note of that. The fact that you were always there for them, like God was always there for you, they will take note of that. Like the father of the prodigal son, they will know that you love them. And God wants His Spirit to make a difference in your family. God wants us to be more patient with our families as we walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. Any unsaved family can yell and scream at one another, can kick each other out. But God wants Christian families to exhibit long-suffering. And by the way, I might say this morning that a good marriage is not the result of finding the right person. A good marriage is the result of being the right person. God wants you to be Spirit-filled. He wants you to be long-suffering in that relationship. Sometimes we're not as long-suffering as we should be, but God says in Ephesians 4:29, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." Now listen, God wants all of us to be full-time ministers. That's all of us guys in this room and gals in this room. He says, I want you to minister grace to your family. I want you to minister grace to the people you're talking to. I want you to help them to know that you love them as you minister to them. Now we need a lot of wisdom at this area. And we need wisdom as spouses to try to see their situation and from their point of view. And we need long suffering if our family life is going to work. I thank God today. I thank God for a wife that has been long suffering with me. Fellas, I don't know about you, but I hope that you thank God that your wife has been long suffering with you. There were two smart men in this room just now. The rest of you, I'm telling you, you're in trouble. I gave you a chance there. I tried to help you. I'm going to try that once again. I don't know about you, fellas, but I thank God for a wife that has been long-suffering with me. Yeah. Oh, yes, godly men. Amen. You could have encouraged your pastor and your wife had you just been awake at that very moment right there in the message. Now, seriously, I thank God today that I have a wife that walks in the Spirit that has been patient with me. And I learned early on in marriage how stupid I really was. I showed my stupidity in many different ways. I remember when we were in Bible college, I worked at Caterpillar Tractor Company, and I came home oftentimes about 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning. I was filled with grease and dirt. I'd go right to that kitchen sink, get a bunch of Ajax, get some Ivory soap, wash my hands, and get much of the dirt off, maybe half of it or so. And then that first night home, as we were newlyweds, that first night home from work, I just reached down there by the oven and grabbed some of those towels that were there and just started wiping that dirt and grease all over those towels. And that's when my wife walked in. And that's when I learned that there were towels to dry your hands and there were decorative towels. I thought there were just towels that you just grab. But that's when I had to learn that there are different kinds of towels for different purposes. And my wife had to be long-suffering with me. I'm thankful she did not throw a pan at me that night. She was long-suffering and kind towards me. And long-suffering will build a strong family. Sometimes, fellas, we have to be long-suffering with our wives, like when they want to go shopping. Shopping is one of those words that has different meanings to different people. To me personally, shopping means know what you want, know where you're going, know how much it costs, go get it, go home. That's basically what shopping is. It's sort of like going out hunting. You just scope it out, shoot it, take it home. That's the philosophy, but that's not a woman's philosophy. A woman's philosophy is weird, frankly. But anyways, a woman's philosophy of shopping is you've got to go to every shoe store. You've got to try on numerous different. A woman's shoe size changes from month to month. And they've just got to check on these things, make sure, and so forth. I've learned that if I'm going to go out and we're going to have any fun at all shopping, it's going to take some long suffering on my part. We're not just going to go to one store. We're going to go to many, many stores. And we're going to have a good attitude when we go, too. Long suffering. I've made a few mistakes in our marriage, and I remember a fellow one time, he said, look, you need to learn how to treat your wife with royalty. She's the princess of the family. You need to treat her royally. And so, man, I tell you what, that week I took her to Burger King and Dairy Queen, but it didn't help much. Just trying to do the best I can, but sometimes it takes time to learn. But you know what it takes most of all? It takes long-suffering. And I can't be long-suffering on my own, and you can't be long-suffering on your own, because it's called the fruit of the Spirit. It's not the fruit of psychology. It's not the fruit of positive thinking. It's something the Holy Spirit will produce in His child. And so God wants us to find influence in our family through long-suffering. God wants us to find influence with others around us through long-suffering. You will not gain respect by flying off the handle every time. You'll not gain respect by giving somebody a piece of your mind. Don't give it to them. You cannot afford to give them one more piece of your mind. That's not how you gain influence in this world. Now, like most fruits of the Spirit, patience is the product of love. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13:4, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Love will be patient with weaknesses and ignorance and error. Love will wait for God to accomplish His divine purposes. Love knows what the Bible says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. And when you love someone, and you know that something is wrong and you have the goods on them, yes, sometimes you confront them, but sometimes too, you are long-suffering to allow God to show them what He wants them to learn. God wants us to be long-suffering with our neighbors. He wants us to love our neighbor as ourselves. God wants us to show this long-suffering to our co-workers. Hey, listen, any unsaved guy can show an attitude and say a curse word and stomp out and throw a fit. God has put you where you are so that your life, your testimony, might bear the fruit that is different than what this world can bear. And then God wants you with your friends to be that peacemaker, to be that long-suffering one. Turn in your Bible, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 4, just one or two pages over in your Bible. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. It says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. May I pause here for just a moment? Vocation. Your vocation is not real estate broker or insurance broker or doctor or nurse or carpenter or engineer. Your primary vocation or calling in this life is to be a servant of God. So many people get it all mixed up. And they begin to put spiritual things on the back burner. But God says, I want you to walk worthy of your vocation wherewith you've been called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. Notice verse 3. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. As we grow in long suffering, we're not trying to make enemies. We're endeavoring to keep the unity with God's people. Over the years, I have seen and experienced Christians who get sideways, and many times they say false things, ridiculous things about other Christians. And I'm reminded of the verse in your notes there this morning, 1 Peter 2:23, it says of Jesus Christ, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. There was never a greater example of long-suffering than the example of Jesus Christ himself. When he was reviled, when he was spat upon, when he was cursed, he reviled not again. You say, but pastor, I've got the goods on somebody. I can prove what a liar they are. I've got it in print. I've got this. I've got that. You know what? It might be better to just not prove it and just give it to the Lord. You see. When Jesus was reviled, he reviled not again. If I spent my life trying to prove myself right and trying to prove other people wrong, it would get me off the beating track of reaching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so it's better to be long-suffering in these situations. The influence of long-suffering will be given to you by the Lord as you walk in the Spirit in this hour. We see the perseverance of long-suffering. God will bring you through the trials. We see the influence of long-suffering. God will bless your family and God will bless your relationships when you are long-suffering. But thirdly, I want you to see this morning, the deliverance of long-suffering. The deliverance of long-suffering. Now, this is an amazing truth. And that is that God, through His patience for you, wants to deliver you today from sin. He wants to deliver you today from the trials and difficulties that sin will bring. Now, notice in the first place, the deliverance of salvation. The deliverance of salvation. And you'll see its connotation with long-suffering in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9 in your notes. It says, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness. By the way, some people say this, well, yeah, Christians have been saying Jesus is coming again for over 2,000 years, so where is He? And they make fun of Christ coming. By the way, the Bible says that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years. It's only been 2 days since Jesus said, I will come again. And the Bible says the Lord is not slack concerning His promise. It's not like He has forgotten His word. And the Bible says He's not slack as some men count slackness, but is, what's that next word say? Long-suffering to us word, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, my friend, let's make this personal. I believe there are people in this room right now this morning. God loves you so much. He has not delayed His coming with frivolous reasons in mind. He has delayed his coming because he loves you and he wants you to trust Jesus Christ as Savior. He's not willing that you would perish. He's not willing that one person would die and spend eternity in a Christless hell. That's not the heart of God. He's not willing that anyone would perish, but that everyone would come to repentance, that they would come to that place where they would change their minds about themselves and they would say, I am a sinner. I do fall short of God's glory, and I turn to Jesus today to forgive my sin and to be my personal Savior. And God says, I will deliver you through my long suffering. And again, I say, I'm glad that God is so patient with us. Many of you here this morning who are born again Christians, you did not accept Jesus Christ the first time you heard the gospel. For some of you, it took a few times. It took a little time, maybe a long time for you. I bet you're glad this morning that Jesus was so patient with you. That when we were so hard-headed and stubborn that we were going to do our own thing, our own way, God in His long suffering just gave you another chance and another invitation and another opportunity to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Through His long suffering, you can come to repentance. And I don't know where the person is, but somewhere in this world is the last person who will ever trust Jesus as their Savior. And when that person prays and accepts Christ as Savior, the trump of God will sound, and the dead in Christ will rise first, and we which are alive and remain will join them in the air, and we will be with the Lord forever. I'm telling you this morning, there is one final person somewhere in this world who will become a Christian, and then it will be too late for those who have rejected Christ. They will be left behind. But until then, God is long-suffering. He's long-suffering today as many pastors, thousands around the world, stand and proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. He's long-suffering as missionaries proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. He's long-suffering as you have given a tract or given a gospel invitation to a friend this week. He's not willing that anybody would perish. God's desire is that everybody would come to Him. 1 Timothy 1:16, Paul said it this way, "Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Christ Jesus might show forth all long-suffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on Him to life everlasting." Watch that. For a pattern. In other words, Paul said he was the worst of sinners. He said, if God could be long-suffering with me, He can be long-suffering with anybody. He will bring everyone to Himself if they will come and trust Him. So the deliverance of salvation is available because of God's long-suffering. And then not only the deliverance of salvation, but the deliverance of the second coming. Now, we have been delivered today by salvation. We've been forgiven. Thank God for that. But one day we will be delivered when Jesus comes to take us home to be with Him. Whether you're on the balcony or the back row or here at the front this morning, listen, Jesus Christ is coming again. And He will deliver you. And until then, He will give you long suffering. Now, sometimes people have trouble understanding this thought of the second coming of Jesus Christ. But sometimes children and even adults have trouble understanding the entire concept. But the fact is, James said it this way, James 5:8, "Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh." Jesus said, "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again." Now, my friend, the fact of the matter is that Jesus Christ is coming again. 2 Peter 3:13, "Nevertheless, we, according to His promise," Peter said, "look for a new heaven and a new earth." I feel sorry for the Jehovah's Witnesses who think this is the final destination of their lives. Thank God there is a new heaven and a new earth, Peter said. And we can look for that. Verse 14 says, "Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligently, that ye may be found of Him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you." Now, my friend, I don't know what challenges you're facing today, but I know that God's Holy Spirit can produce within you a long suffering. He can produce within you an ability to endure and an ability to know that God is at work and that He loves you despite the challenge you're experiencing. He will give you perseverance. He will give you perseverance so that you might grow into God's purpose. He will give you influence because as you are faithful in a time of difficulty, there will be others who will say, "I don't know what he has or she has in his life or her life, but it's real and I need it." And God will give you today deliverance If you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, you right now do not know that you're forgiven of your sin. You do not know that heaven is your home. God today is long-suffering towards you. He's not willing that you would perish. He is waiting for you. He's been there all the time, waiting patiently in line while there was this relationship and that relationship and this hobby and that job. There was Jesus all the time saying, when you've got a moment, I'd like to show you what I can do for you. And that moment for some of you might be right now today.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California.
This broadcast is a listener-supported program that exists because of prayers and donations from people just like you. If you make a donation to Daily in the Word, Pastor Chappell would like to send you a copy of his newest book, Paid in Full, as a thank you for your support of our ministry. Thank you for your help in spreading the good news throughout the world.
We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell has served as the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church for nearly 30 years, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message. Connect with us and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at dailyintheword.org. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.